Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Sean Strong. Hello, Sean.
Good afternoon.
So Sean is president of State Technical College of Missouri. We asked Sean to come because he had some great enrollment numbers to report recently and thought we would kind of talk about that and talk about the institution. My understanding is your first year enrollment figures for students was quite extensive.
So we're up again. Yesterday I had to ask because I couldn't remember if it was 8 or 9 years in a row, but I think we're 9 years in a row, first year largest class, and then 8 years in a row of overall enrollment increases. So we're pretty tickled. Another 5%, which is, it's not an accident. That's kind of where we want to be every year, about 5% growth.
So how many students are we talking about?
Easy to remember. Last year we were at 2,300 students in 2023, and this year we're just a little north of 2,415, but it's a whole lot easier to remember 2,400 students in 2024.
All right. How does your enrollment trend compare to other technical colleges in Missouri? Or the nation?
I would say two-year colleges in general are still, they've been trending down for a long time. Typically what you see with a good economy, there's an inverse relationship. The better the economy, the worse the enrollment gets. We're definitely bucking a trend. I think that among true technical schools, I don't know that they're seeing the kind of growth we're seeing. We're up 90% in the last 9 years. So every year we're up. So we're very fortunate. We're blessed to be where we are because most of the schools in Missouri are not in the same position.
So why do you think you are in that unique position?
I mean, it's very intentional. I mean, it's intentional growth. The entire campus understands we need to continue to grow. Probably the bigger thing, though, is just an outstanding value proposition. Almost 75% of our students are on A+, so they can come to State Tech for, I wouldn't say free, but covers standard fees and tuition. You put that together, Walla Hub and their annual ranking, we're always in the top 10 with regard to graduate outcomes. That's really the salaries of our students. So when you're top 10 in the country on salaries, I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah. For those who maybe aren't familiar with a technical college versus four-year university, what's the difference in approach?
In a lot of ways, we're very similar. I mean, some people will say trade school or tech school. It's college. Our students are going to take a transferable gen ed. Then they're going to take, most of our programs are a little bit larger than some of the two-year schools. Standard of 60 credit hours. Most of our programs are 72 credit hours, so a little bit bigger. But we are the state's technical college. So the state's public technical college. So we have a statewide mission. We have some, what I would call expensive programs that you'd, from a taxpayer standpoint, it doesn't make sense to have a heavy equipment operations program all over the state just because they are so expensive. So we have one in Lynn and our nuclear program, our Caterpillar Think Big program. We can go kind of down the list of some of those unique programs that are just in Lynn. But the community colleges, they serve more of a diverse population, a lot of adult learners, a lot of short-term training, that type of thing. Where we've really figured out our bread and butter is students, typically, right, traditional age students right out of high school pursuing an associate of applied science degree.
So what are some of the programs that one of those students might achieve at State Tech?
I mentioned heavy equipment operations. We have a nuclear technology program. We probably have one of the bigger electrical programs, electrician programs, probably in the Midwest, if not the country. We have a very large HVAC program, but then we also have computer technology, networking, cybersecurity, digital media. We have about 37 different programs from healthcare to very, very technical programs.
You've got obviously great enrollment growth. You know, the objective obviously is to eventually graduate them, get them a job. So how does that look? How's your graduation rate?
One of our biggest challenges, I mean, if you look at who we recruit against, it's the workforce.
Sure.
Employers want folks now. So much so when they go out on internship in the summer, the employer has to sign a contract saying they will not hire that student. They can make them a job offer, but they can't hire that student till after they graduate. Graduation is incredibly important to us. You can't take that piece of paper away. Can never take a degree away. So from our cohort model to kind of a tough love approach where we take attendance and they get transcripted on attendance, everything that we do is driven around and engaging the student body. Everything is about how do we get that student to that finish line?
Yeah.
We do it better than anybody else. Walla Hub this last week in their national rankings actually indicated we have of two-year schools and they compare us against about 600 other two-year schools. Mm-hmm. We have the best graduation rate in the country. So
wow.
We're very, very, very proud of that.
Yeah. I think as an employer myself, I appreciate the intentional approach there from attendance all the way to completion of the degree. That instills great core values in that person that you would expect. As an employer, you want that employee to finish the job.
Sure. And so we do 100% attendance, but then we actually have what we call a job readiness score, where we will evaluate that student. Did they show up on time? Is it an employee that they would want working for them, essentially? Yeah. So it's a job readiness score. Yeah. And that's transcripted as well. So it's a whole lot of little things. A lot of times people will say, what do you do different? Or what do you do? We talk about high-risk students. How do you treat a high-risk student? We treat every student like they're high-risk student. We don't really, a lot of schools will say, hey, we identify this student as high-risk, we're going to treat them differently. We're going to treat all of our students the same, and the result is our incredible graduation rate.
How large is the campus? I mean, it's been expanding.
We continue to expand with the addition of agriculture. We've really gone into agriculture in a big way. We're up to about 865 acres campus-wide, about 750,000 square feet under roof.
And there's a lot of construction going on right there. What are some of the projects you have going on currently as part of those efforts?
We have two buildings going in. One is our Willett Automation Center. So our founder was Thurman Willett back in 1961. So people have asked that we name a building for him for quite some time. So we're going to do it with the Automation Center. And then we have a building construction center will house HVAC and electrical. And then the Willett Automation Center will house drafting, automation, robotics, and then also our precision machining program. We have a very large precision machining program as well.
Well, and you mentioned agriculture. That project is just getting underfoot.
Correct. We acquired two farms this last summer. Congressman Luke DeMeyer secured a $3 million, I think they call them community projects now. I don't think we call them earmarked pork barrel spending or any of those bad words anymore. But he secured that for us. And then the state of Missouri, through their MoExcel program, is another $4 million. So we're just now clearing all the federal government requirements to utilize that money. And that should go out for bid here in the next week or two.
Well, and speaking of funding, I mean, the state government also recently allocated some money for big equipment, kind of tied to the whole I-70 project, right?
Correct. If you drive down I-70, I don't know that folks truly understand the scale of that project. Billions of dollars are going to be sent there. There's nobody to do the work now. Mm-hmm. So we really looked at that I-70 project, like how can we help the state of Missouri meet those workforce needs and receive $15 million to grow our heavy equipment operations program from 100 students up to 400 students.
Wow.
So we're very appreciative of the governor and the General Assembly for helping us out with the project. It is our biggest non-building appropriation we've ever received. And I think the General Assembly understands when you give state tech money, we're going to do something with it. We're going to grow. We have funds we're never going to see again in our generation with ARPA money, that type of thing, with everything we have going on right now.
Well, and it just seems like there's a great alignment there with state tech's mission, its existing mission, as well as in recent years, the state really focusing on workforce development. It seems like they were running on parallel paths and complemented one another.
Yeah, every time you hear Governor Parson talk, it's infrastructure, workforce development.
Right.
This project, along with our utility programs, probably have one of the larger broadband programs in the country. Of course, we have our well-established electrical distribution program, but we built a building there. And then next to it, we have something new called Safety Village. Safety Village is a super cool project. It's basically a residential subdivision built on our campus where students can go on underground utilities, locate utilities, do HVAC systems or electrical systems. So we have a groundbreaking for that coming up, I believe on September 11th or 12th. I want to say it's on September 12th.
Yeah. It's a fascinating village there where, you can see where crews would go in there and wire on a house or get wiring to the house, work on the streets, curbs and gutters, things such as that. Yeah. It's a very unique concept. Is that something that's unique to you guys or?
Missouri One call came to us, it was probably 8-9 years ago and said, we'd like an area where students can go out and not students, but industry too, locate and learn to excavate around utilities. Mm-hmm. So we took that and we visited. There are a few of them around. Even Ameren has a version of it in Columbia for gas, where they have some portable buildings and then some gas infrastructure. But no, we have gas, water, storm sewer, fiber, you name it. We have it in our Safety Village. I don't think there probably is one as big or as extensive in the country. country is what we've put on campus there.
Well, and I think you bring up a great point. I mean, your tagline is employer's choice, right? There is a very unique link between employers and State Tech. Kind of talk about how that all works.
Sure. So our employers drive our curriculum. So we have about 400 employers on our various advisory boards. Every program has an advisory board. It's a requirement for the program. They come in and we have questions we ask them every year about curriculum, equipment, and so on. So they make sure we always have relevant programs. So if we can't place the student or the students have trouble in a program getting placed, we probably don't need that program. All of our programs by the end of this year, most all of them do now, will require internships. And internships are something that more traditionally you find in four-year schools between that junior and senior year. We're going to require at a two-year school, all of our students have an internship between that first and second year. When we have our career fair in February, we'll have, this last year, we had 400 employers come over 2 days. So we are all about getting students really good jobs. It's, our mission is prepare students for profitable employment and a life of learning. And it has been for as long as I know, it's been the mission, but we definitely have really doubled down on that. We get students, we start careers. You know, it's not just about jobs, it's beginning rewarding careers.
Sure. You know, it strikes me that one of the real advantages that State Tech has is that hands-on learning. You mentioned Caterpillar, for instance. I mean, they're actually working on Caterpillar machines. Same thing with any wide variety of programs that you're offering there. I mean, they're working on real world.
We're not simulating much of anything.
Right.
We're not playing on a computer pretending we're working on stuff. We are working on full-size equipment, whether it's bulldozers or commercial HVAC systems or commercial electrical. When a student goes onto a job site, it's not going to look foreign to them.
I recently visited your campus and I was struck also by the students are very regimented in their class schedules, but then there's some new bells and whistles on campus, right? From your activity center, as well as I think there's a little lake now. What are some of the things you're doing to try to help round out that student's experience on campus?
Sure. So we're very intentional. I would say another way we're very different than maybe a community college where most of their students are part-time or commute. We are really intentional about trying to create what you would oftentimes find at a four-year campus, but really creating a true residential experience for those students. Mm-hmm. For example, and creating memories. Yesterday, cooked a whole steer, and we fed 1,000 students, bought the steer at the fair, and we cooked the whole thing in our 9-foot-wide grill. We do have a good time. We have a lake that we have on campus with a white sand beach. Lynn is a town of 1,300 people. So right. We know we've got 2,400 kids that live, most all of them, 80% of them live in Lynn all the time. Therefore, we need to find some things for them to do, or they're going to find things maybe we don't want them to do.
Right.
So then we've created the golf course, something pretty special too. If you haven't been there, I encourage everybody to go check out the Osage View Event and Entertainment Center, if you will. Mm-hmm. But it's on our 9-hole golf course, which probably one of the nicer 9-hole golf courses in central Missouri. We also have a driving range there with Top Tracer technology. And again, this is intentional. If you look, it's about giving students something to do. We have a really nice movie theater, bowling, swimming pools, mm-hmm. You name it, esports, an event center. Yeah. And so if you take that, it's one about entertaining students, giving them something to do, but it's also take golf. Where does so much business happen? Out on the golf course.
Sure.
So our students all golf for free. So most of our students don't golf when they come,
right.
But most of them do golf when they leave. And we believe there's some real value in that. But then also it provides a place for, and we're probably as busy with industry visiting that. They'll visit campus. And then we have an event center where they can go have a meeting, have a retreat, do team building. That facility was very intentional about serving the community, serving industry, and giving students fun things to do as well.
Sure. Well, and I presume it's also your lab for your landscaping.
What
landscaping?
We have a turf and grounds management program. We have a student with 3 Super Bowl rings. We have a student with a World Series ring.
Right.
So those students can go anywhere in the country and get a great job.
Yeah.
They're working on a golf course. I know you go to like Top of the Rock in Branson, the golf course superintendent's one of our alums, and you go to a lot of these really nice golf courses around the state, and they have State Tech alum working on them. Hands-on learning at its best at the golf course. We secured that 2023 and really have made a pretty significant investment in that.
Well, circling back to your enrollment gains, I mean, so what's the selling point you would make to parents or to students about coming to State Tech?
It comes back to that value proposition, getting a great paying job, having a true college experience. It's really as simple as that. And well, and I'd say at State Tech, you can get the best two-year education in the entire country in Lynn, Missouri. I think more and more we realize we have one of the best two-year colleges in the entire country there, but I think we're getting that brand out there and students. If you could get the very, very best at a very economical price, I think it makes really good sense. And especially for that student, one, we've got A+, pays for it, but two, you're out in 2 years. You can go to 4 years and four-year school and make the same kind of money, or you can go to a two-year school, go out and get a really good paying job. And then let's say if you want to go get a, I mean, I'm a great example. I have an HVAC degree. You can have your employer pay for that advanced education later on down the road, and you're not out any money in your pocketbook either.
You know, Sean, looking back when, you know, at the beginning of this podcast, you were talking about you've had 90% growth over, what was it?
9 years.
That's a pretty stiff trend line there. But knowing you, I'm assuming you have aspirational goals. You're not satisfied where you're at. What's the aspirational goals for State Tech for the next 5 years?
We're going to get to 3,000. I mean, that is our kind of our short-term goal. And then at 3,000, we really have to look around and make sure Lynn can support additional students. Because right now, a couple of days a week this week, we had traffic backed up to the middle of town. MoDOT has a plan to fix that. Hopefully, it was going to be this summer, but it looks like it's going to be next summer. But yeah. 3,000 where we're headed next in the next 5 years. And I think we'll get there probably a little bit quicker than 5 years. And
we'll,
you know what our biggest challenge is? We're building left and right. Space is not the issue. It's parking, because our students are at class all day long and each of them has a car, and we have 125 beds on campus. So we have to figure out a home. And every time we add 100 students, we better add 80 to 90 parking spots.
Sure.
And those cars take up a lot of space. So every day this last week, we go out and count how many open spots we have. So we don't have a parking problem. You can walk anywhere on campus in 10 minutes, but we're using gravel lots now. So it's a great problem to have.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it strikes me that you guys have been pretty intentional too. I know at one point, been a few years ago, you had started adding campus housing, but you've kind of ceded that to the private sector. You're not necessarily adding more dormitories on campus. You're focusing more on program building,
correct,
rather than residential building. And how's that worked out so far?
Very well. I would rather share the wealth. The community has to put up with, I shouldn't say put up with students, but the traffic and that population in a small town. So it's one way we give back to the community is through generating some tax revenue for the public schools, that type of thing, through housing. Within 1,000 foot or two of campus, there are over 1,000 beds, and we'll add another 150 for next fall. So we work really closely with the landlords and try to figure out what's being built. So as long as they're building, we're not going to build, just because we'd rather focus on our mission. And it's that academic programming. And I'd rather let the landlords deal with the 2,000 students than we have to worry about them having them on campus.
Well,
because I was that age once, and our students, they work hard and they play hard.
There you go.
I just assume they play hard off campus.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, in our show notes, we'll put information as to how, if you're interested in as a student, how to get in touch with State Tech, as well as employers, because you're always looking for partnerships with employers and their input, I presume.
Absolutely. They drive our curriculum, but also we have some great partners like Toro, who bring out in almost $1 million worth of equipment for us to use every year on our golf course. Mm-hmm. Premier Midwest does the same thing. Ditch Witch does the same thing. So without those partners, it would be very difficult to buy the kind and amount of equipment we need every year. So great partnerships with industry really makes this thing work.
All right. Well, Sean, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.